This is one in a series of podcasts from the Hyatt Web Conference in Austin 2011.
Hi, everyone. What we're going to talk about here is a case study of what we went through, American University, and hopefully I'll be able to interact a little bit through the session, get some questions, some perspective from you as I uncover some of what we went through, 45 minutes, right? I am in IT. I'm American University's associate CIO. I did not have a higher education background running higher ed technology shops before coming to American University. I come from banking and financial, and attended a session this morning, and the speaker highlighted some of the difference between coming from a non-higher ed to higher ed and what it feels like. And I can tell you, I fully resonated with the, it is the toughest gig of all. So this was my, I came in 2007 to American University, and things were just kind of bubbling up, discussions about the web redesign. We didn't quite launch into it. And so here is my perspective. So for those of you who don't know where American University is, we're in Northwest Washington, D.C. It's a private liberal arts university, about 13,000 students, very politically and socially active student body. The campus is buzzing always, which is great. But what it also means is when we're trying to do something like this, there's a lot of opinions, right? That's probably true for any campus out there. But again, this is the first campus that I got used to, my introduction to higher ed, IT, technology, projects, programs, if you will, through American. So about our redesign program, I'm going to take you through the program a little bit, talk about some of our challenges, and then hopefully be able to, again, take some questions as we near the end of the session. How many of you have recently completed a web redesign? Just show of hands, okay? How many of you are going through one right now as we speak? Okay, you're having so much fun. And how many of you are thinking about embarking on one? Okay, so kind of a nice mix. Our web redesign program, we did about 2 whole months of planning, and the actual implementation, if you will, lasted for little over 18 months. Throughout this, we worked with 4 different consulting companies. The first one was a company that specialized in design, a marketing design company based off of New York, huge incorporated. Then we worked with a second company, which was the content management vendor, CMS vendor that we chose, and we selected CommonSpot, which is from PaperThin. Then the third was a company that, we'll talk about this a little bit. When we went into the sea of content and we tried to figure out what to do with it, we had to get just one consultant from a company who helped us develop, if you will, our content strategy. And then the fourth is RealView TV for our virtual tour. So those were the 4 companies we worked with. And the legacy web that American University had was built in probably 2000 or 2001, and it was all custom coded. It was written in Cold Fusion, and we needed, not only did we need a redesign because the design was carried through from 2000, we also needed a re-architecture because it was custom code. And again, this is not unlike many universities when they're going through this. It's not just a redesign; you're also re-architecting and thinking through things. And things have changed so much than that year 2000 and when these things happened. We lost count, but we had well over 100,000 plus old pages, but that's just 2 servers, and we probably had 8. So we couldn't count. We tried to get a roster of what content inventory was looking like and quickly realized that if our content strategy was sort through all that inventory and figure out what to do, that was a no-win situation. So we'll talk about that. Total content publisher, these were individuals who was writing web content, was about 140 as we went through this phase. And they were all over campus in different units. They created 30,000 new pages when we first launched, which is again, maybe, it was May of last year. So In all, we did 21 focus groups. Most of these were with students, with alumni. There were a couple of staff focus groups, a few faculty focus groups, some prospective students. We got feedback from them on design. And we were trying to track how many feedback providers, you know, people who were very vocal about what they liked about the wireframes and disliked about the wireframes and frames and why something just wouldn't work because you've got to be kidding. This is a university. We got that feedback a lot, by the way. So that was about 250 again plus. So that just, you know, is a flavor. Why were we redesigning? For all good reasons that none of these are new to you. We had everybody said, we have a school of communication. They're excellent. They said, you know, this is ridiculous. It's so boring. It's so clumsy. And so their focus was more on the lack of modernization of our website design. But really what we had was, again, outdated content. Content was not retired, so you had content that conflicted with each other. We have, universities in general have slim IT staffing. We had a slim couple people IT shop that dealt with the web, and you know, if you needed a new site, they made all the updates. So it was a very limiting way of doing work. And by and large, nobody could really find anything if they found anything because there was conflicting sets of information. And yes, we had different dates for different tuition charges and different dates for payment of tuition, all kinds of things that you wouldn't want to have. And it was just difficult to find. I remember in my first year, I went to our business school and I was talking to them about my financial industry background. And at the end of the session, one student said, well, why is our website so bad? And that was her question. And she said, you know, I tried to look for something about tuition payment dates. And I got a date for an ice cream shop that doesn't exist on campus. I mean, you know, ridiculous examples. But again, those were real examples that students would give us all the time. It was clumsy, you know, you just didn't have a design. It was a nice blue bar with some text and lots of text out there. The media was incorporated because we had a rotating frame that had, you know, that kept your images fresh. It was in a couple places in our old website, but that was about it. So everyone was talking about this, and this is the time I came to the university. Finally, we had an interim president, we had an interim provost. There was a lot of our senior leadership at the time that this chatter was going on was interim. And the challenge with that is always, do you embark on something or do you wait for the leadership to go beyond interim and solidify before you do a redesign as big as this? Well, finally, our admissions unit, bread and butter, they said we're 95%. American University is 95% tuition-driven. So the fear was we're actually going to lose students. And there was some trends, some data that they could show that solidified that fear. So things started moving. And we looked at this. So a few units that you would imagine, the way the web staff is organized in the university. Again, there is marketing, university communications marketing. They do brand design. We have IT folks who understand deep technology, databases, servers. We have some web development folks who work to translate the requirements coming in from the campus and then work with the deep technical folks to implement them. Each school and most programs have what you would call, their titles were all over, but somebody who deals with web, either in the school or in the units, you would be able to find them if you looked for them enough. Now, there was no commonality between their titles or even their job description, but if you went to a unit and you said, okay, who does this, this, and the other for your web, they go, oh, we go to that person. So we were able to, with some creative questions, track who this web people were across campus. And they became our first group of content publisher. So there was tons of stuff to read up on. I think we did a decent job on reading up what makes a web redesign program successful. What are all the things you look for? Now, my experience was more from of the financial sector, the for-profit corporations. So yes, I had to read up a lot on why can't you just say, we're going to do this, and everybody rallies. Well, that's not how higher ed works. So it was quite a learning experience. So one of the things we knew, so this is stuff we knew going into it, that you need to have very clearly stated goals. What are your redesign objectives? What are you really trying to do? For something as big as this, staff availability. So you got the core units, but what about all the folks around campus who need to develop content or redesign or be able to spend time? So it's who are the people on the ground who need to participate, who are their managers who need to be okay with the time commitment that this might take from them, and how do you do all those negotiations ahead of time? So we learned that was one of the key things we had to do, the competency of the staff involved. So even looking at my own shop, we have folks there who knew very good Cold Fusion, but they may not be as savvy in all the new trendy tools out there. And back then, we didn't know that we were going to do Common Spot. Could be any tool. Could be an open source, which we looked at. We needed the buy-in from the staff and academic unit. So, it's great. And this is another thing that I learned was when you go out there, everyone's complaining. And, this is crazy. It's crappy. It needs to change. How can we sustain this? Then when you go, okay, here's what we need you to do as we go through the change program. You get a different reaction. You get, really? How come the university can't fund? Well, the university will fund, but we've got to do the work, and it's a ton of work. We also prepared our leadership that there's going to be decision-making involved. We needed budget. So typically, again, you can do a lot of things by the side of your overflowing desk. But this one, we would need to really make sure that we got everybody together at the same time, working on the same schedule somewhat. So we needed to make sure that the budget, whether it's the dollars to buy a tool or the servers or whatnot, the budget for some of the consulting companies. See, the university, when we looked at the core skill sets that we had, design was not one of the core competencies. So it was a pretty unanimous decision to get some consulting to help us with design starting out. But then, along the way, we did a pretty good job of prepping our leadership that this is the kind of budget, this is the kind of timeline commitment that you're looking at. And they did agree that they were going to engage. Bottom line, it was just going to be a ton of work. It was probably the biggest project minus our ERP. So, okay. So we were off to a good start, believe it or not. We really had a good plan, good engagement. We stated our goals, where we wanted to be, what were some of the weak links that needed to improve. I think the engaging of the consultant with the design experience. Now, if your campus has that skill set that you feel comfortable with, then you're okay. But we didn't. Again, we were talking about interim leadership. Some units were not getting enough exposure. Let's say at the time we started, the university communication marketing was also, had a interim leader. We knew that we had an open search going on, but we didn't exactly know how that would pan out. So we took two whole months to figure out what the vision was and what the implementation plan was going to be. Did a lot of user research. For example, when we have campus days, when the prospective students are coming to campus, bunch of staff stood out there, got feedback. What are they missing? What did they go through to get the information they got, or in some cases they did not get? Our president did a great job of engaging, and that made a big difference. Although later on we found out engaging the cabinet is one thing. It's not everything that's needed. We needed much more engagement from the deans, the schools, associate deans, so on and so forth. And there were a few decisions that were made up front. So it was decided that it was going to be a big bang approach, university-wide redesign. We were not going to do a pilot. We were not going to just take one area and move it over. So it was going to be, it was going to be a broad overall redesign. Yes, there will be an enterprise content management tool. We have to figure out what that would mean for us. We would have 3 to 5 special features, or back in the old days, we used to call them killer apps. That would be the big draw for folks to either want to engage in the redesign or just special features that would make it kind of cool, but no more than 3 to 5. And yes, it will be fully distributed publishing, so the more people we can engage to create the content, the better off we are. So these were early decisions. And the university did realize that we need to engage at all levels. It's a massive effort. And you know, this is the 3rd month. Everybody said, oh yeah, we still really need it. This is the thing. So we went full steam ahead. And I was beginning to feel, okay, wow, this is pretty good. I mean, who said things move slowly here? This is pretty fast. My last job before coming here was Capital One, and I was in this phase where I was still comparing very much oranges to pineapples or whatever you want to call it. So I thought, wow, this is very fast. This is great. But see, then what happened was we produced the first set of deliverables, the team did. And everybody wanted to win. And that just was, we started feeling good because people are paying attention. We raised the awareness and it's all a good thing. But everybody wanted to weigh in, and not just weigh in. They held us accountable to incorporating all those great comments. Design choices were varying very widely. And then everybody started telling us what we were not doing right. You know, you need more focus groups. What are you doing? You have only 6 focus groups. Well, you can't be in a focus group mode forever. And then we heard, well, we're giving you feedback, you need to circle back with us again. So this infinite loop of get feedback, go do your thing, come back again, we'll give you more feedback. We were in the middle of that. That churn was happening. And see, this all hit us right about the 4th or 5th month, all at the same time. Our cabinet members became very picky on real estate. We would go to cabinet meetings to present a concept or a wireframe, and all you would hear is, where is my button? That's what they would say. Where is my button? You don't have finance and treasury, which we report to, by the way. Why not? Well, we're thinking, you know, primary audience, maybe they don't want to know about finance and treasury when they come to the homepage. And then they would pick a spot on the page, like, we need to be in that part of the page. It's not good enough that you've stuck us in the bottom right-hand corner. I mean, this is regular, right? This is not, am I saying something that is just very unique to American? Okay. Faculty said their needs were just not represented. If the primary audience for a website is students, you are disregarding the intellectual capital of the enterprise called the institution. So they were almost offended. And and our senior leadership felt that Web 2.0 was chaos. What if you had the use case that they threw back at us over and over, over and over again was you have a situation where a faculty's tenure application has been denied and students are lobbying for it. What if this happened? What are you going to do? So to take our university to accept and embrace Web 2.0, we have a feature, it's called AUpedia. It's very much like Wikipedia. In its original intent was very much supposed to be like Wikipedia, where, think about it, insider guides being written up by anybody in the American university community, and then you can go and update it and keep it fresh. To put this out there was a big, big challenge for us, because on the one hand, we had a lot of excitement from folks, the students in particular, and staff, But on the other hand, we were just being bombarded by our university. What kind of liability are we exposing the institution to by actually having this on the university website? Could be anywhere, it didn't matter why on the university website. Well, we did a decent job managing that debate. And then the technical folks had a lot of philosophical debates on whether or not we should do open source or just a regular off-the-shelf product. And that's a topic in itself, because I am in IT, but it was a very interesting debate. We ended up not going open source. We chose a Common Spot. Part of the reason was to leverage the skill sets that we already have. Common Spot is somewhat Cold Fusion based, so that really helped us. But it, you know, the team that chose this was about 40 or 50 people across campus. So they were the recommended ones, fair and square, even from the user community. So that helped us through the debate. And then we got, remember how everybody said they were in and they loved it and they needed it? The moment we started showing wireframes and somebody didn't like any, they said, well, can we opt out? Well, not actually, I take that back. They didn't say, can we opt out? They said, we are opting out. So before I post it, I'm going to rephrase that. And then they said, we have to generate content. You're looking at us to do this, you know. So think about it. It's like sinking in the messages that were given right at the get-go, right? This, we kept on talking about this, but it's every time a new message actually sinked in, it spurred the biggest debate in that week or month. And then we were in the next debate before the first debate was even over. So it felt very chaotic. We had between the fourth and the end of sixth or seventh month, we were stuck. We just, you know, it was going slow. I mean, how do you deal with all this? So we did this. I don't think I have it here, but we basically further organized the program. But we did this think about open sessions on campus where. Come and talk to us about the web. And the president engaged his chief of staff on the project. So the thing I go back to is the reason I think we could do it at that scale is because of leadership engagement. Because had that not been the case, had the chief of staff at that point not been engaged, I don't think IT and marketing together alone would have been able to navigate all these debates. So we did a number of open houses. We said, you know, you're going to have to do the work because you know what you're talking about. We can get a consultant, but they won't know what you're talking about. They won't give your messages the way you want. However, there is going to be a lot of help. This is the point when we realized that we needed some consulting to draft a nice content strategy because it's too massive and we can't go through the pages. There was no earthly way. We shouldn't even have considered that was an option. So we'd really, really got more organized at that point. We had four different committees, but you know, all the times we bash committees and say that it's a waste of time and it just, you know, you churn and you go to a meeting to talk about a meeting and come out and go to the next meeting to reconfirm that you needed the meeting. These were working committees because we still were holding to our 18-month delivery. There was a committee that started looking at content and, you know, come up with how do we get the campus to write content. There was a committee that started. We did not have a web policy per se for our legacy web. We had a standard of use kind of thing. So started looking into the policy aspect, particularly if we had social media, you know, the feature we called AUpedia, then what would that mean from a policy standpoint and engaging general counsel and all that. There was a pure technical team that was looking, working still with the campus, but really trying to get through the choice of the content management system. And we had this fourth group. Remember, we were going to do 3 to 5 special features or killer applications, so that was the killer apps group. They tried to figure out what those 3 to 5 would be, so they looked at a whole bunch of stuff, settled in on this AUpedia. They also settled in on profiles for staff and student and faculty. We did not have profiles in our old legacy web. The other was a event system, university calendar, where you could have master events and special events and go by departments. And so depending on, let's say you're on a department page or you navigate from the department to a certain program, the event page gets refreshed. So it's nice and nifty, and it's one of the things that's most widely looked at and used. We structured the feedback process because that's the biggest churn for us. And essentially, it was going to be three concepts, two rounds, and then we work with a subset of the cabinet if there were debates. But three concepts, two rounds was what we said we would follow if we needed to hit schedule. If that schedule constraint was anything we wanted to go by, identified where the focus groups will be needed. So we shared the plan, talked about where we would bring focus groups, what the plan was, because we were doing many focus groups, but the feedback coming from campus is, oh, keep doing more. You haven't engaged faculty from that department, or forget faculty. You know, your focus groups have more undergrads, not enough grads. You don't have specialty disciplines built into it. So you could do focus groups for a very long time. It's just how much do you need and how much can you do later? And we set a lot of expectations. So we said, not all feedback will be in, because think about it. You're sitting in a room. Doesn't matter how many people you have. You have conflicting feedback. You can't put all feedback in. There's no way. You can't even sometimes wait through the sea of feedback, too. It's what you're doing to get a feel for how you would start. So what we start with is not going to be the web redesign for the next 5 years to come, or even a year. So this whole concept that design evolves with usage, we've got to put something out there that's going to inform us how to make it better. To do n number of focus groups and keep going at it, it's, you know, you want enough of it so you're not just completely missing the mark, but you can't do it forever, because usage will tell us, analytics will tell us what's being used, what's not being used. So it's not a do it and forget about it at all. So that was the other thing. Web tool will not be Wild West. So user-generated feedback and getting users to put their thoughts in doesn't mean we're back to the Wild West. And tool choice is important. We all keep hearing about this, but it's not the end game. It's what you do with the tool that really matters. Opt-out is an exception, and again, yes, you know, there is no way you can say to anybody that this is not a lot of work. But that's just what it is. That's what you've got to do to get it over to the other side. Our new realizations, we realized that, remember when we started, we knew that design was not necessarily American University's core competency, not across the board at least. We also realized that content is king and content is queen. That's been overused, but it's very true. One of our faculty in the School of Communications uses it all the time, and she's absolutely right. And she also said, who's going to write for the web? Do people know how to write for the web? What kind of training do you have? Amy Eisman, she's a very esteemed faculty. And we realized when we went out to our content publishers, and you know, we knew who they were, but they didn't necessarily have any uniform title. There was not any uniformity set in terms of what their job descriptions are or what the expectations of their job descriptions were. They were just the web people in the units. Amy told us that you've got to teach them web writing. So she, at our request, did a whole set of trainings simply on web writing. And these trainings were run in batches. I think she did it over a period of 3 months. Very structured, great training. Even I took it. And you know, she walked through what people look for when they go to the web and stuff that even my IT folks took it. Because if we don't know what we're building it for, then you kind of miss out on that fine element of, oh, so what? You know, you tune your ears off to some of the things your users are saying. So that was a big investment from a time standpoint, and again, our faculty came through to develop this training. We needed our cabinet to understand what we're talking about, because think about it, you go say, you know, web writing is not just, web writing is a thing. You've got to maybe focus a little bit on it. They didn't appreciate this at all. So Amy Eisman, again, our faculty, she did a one-hour session with the whole cabinet to talk about why is web writing different, why is it unique, and why our old content wasn't going to cut it. So she was she reconfirmed the fact that you're better off rewriting the content because here's all the problems with your old content. Don't try to bring it along. Don't try to cut and paste. Just rewrite on the new design. Distributed publishing sounded great. The design to support it, the ongoing training to support it, we needed to think through that. It was not give the tool to users and they will be able to learn and work in it. It was much more than that. Multiple vendors, the coordination management was painful sometimes, and creating content was definitely in no ways a one-time activity. Neither was the training that we rolled out for 3 months. That had to have an ongoing component to it. We, you know, remember when we started this, we had multiple interim leaders, our president, the provost, the communication marketing lead, the development fundraising. They were all interim. American was going through a tough time right before that. I don't know how many of you followed American's history. However, so every time we had a leader change, they brought new opinions on what they saw work at their campuses, and they wanted to rethink all the decisions because they didn't realize what the rush was. And again, there was no rush per se, but you want to be a well-managed program. You could churn with this thing for a really long time. So just the multiple engagements of every leader who came in to help them understand what was going on. And I go back to the addition of the president's chief of staff to the steering committee was a huge deal because he made sure when we would engage in these new leader, bringing them up to speed sessions, he would always be there, and that made a big difference. So we lost a lot of time, and budget was running out. So you know, when they finally chose the content management tool, designs were shaping up. So then the question was, just build the templates and turn it on. And I didn't know how to do that. You know, there was going to be a need to stand up the basic architecture in the first place. That meant servers, that meant, you know, decisions around virtual servers and architecture. There was going to be templates that need to be developed, and our team didn't necessarily, well, did not know the tool. They were excellent technical staff, but they couldn't just turn it on like that. So we looked at the massive sea of what needed to be turned on and developed and the special features and applications, and it was going to take months. The timeline slipped somewhat, but not hugely. And so this was the first area where we introduced agile methodology. If I had planfully walked into it, I would not have said, you know, this is not the project where you want to introduce your campus to how to work with agile pieces of code and develop. But essentially, what I said was, if you look at everything that's to be, what's a good example? Okay, so let's say we had news stories and profiles and success stories. Okay, these were some of the elements that were being built. So a homepage would have dynamic tagging, and some of this would automatically come up. Instead of starting with homepage, we built out the elements first, so build out the news story component, the success story component, and then we would test it and give it to the publishers, and they would populate and write. My idea was they would write up news stories and success stories, and then so we build components, we throw it out there. They use the component to write the content, and the homepage, for example, at either a school level or a program level, comes towards the end. Then they kind of bring it all together. We were very successful, but not without payback. It's difficult to envision design and content. Not to envision, it's difficult to realize design and content like that. I had them do bottom-up approach. They wanted to do top-down. We met them in the middle somewhere. So that had its own challenges, but it made the turnaround fast. So the entire development of this was about 4.5 months. and then we had a phase to pull it all together. But when the publishers looked at all the content together, they did change some. Now, they were very appreciative because as things started happening, they could see what they talked about and what they were engaged in be realized. But it was painful for them because some rework was involved. Now, if you asked them the percent of rework, the percent of what they did in the time, it was very insignificant. So they were still happy. Involved faculty, okay, I talked about this. Lots and lots of testing, the biggest multiple rounds of performance testing. So in my past experience, this is the biggest area where in other implementations, not at AU, we've had a lot of challenges as you put everything together and this thing is very slow. It doesn't render quickly. So we had a lot of performance testing rounds. Our director of web, he implemented what it was his caching. It was custom caching on Common Spot caching in the new product, in the new version. A lot of that has been incorporated. We're very thrilled about it. We don't have to have his custom caching anymore, but it really saved us. And then we had rollout plan and then two levels of contingency plan. In the meantime, see, in all of this, our leadership had been solidified. We had the president, we had provost, we had vice president of marketing and communications, and they wanted to make a big splash. Never again will the campus have me do this, but they had the rollout date, they made t-shirts, and it had the date on it, and they wanted a launch event. Now, I'm IT, I don't like launch events. Launch event is when we're all sitting in a war room trying to figure out if everything's working fine or not. So I had to have levels and levels of contingency plan because they had, oh my God, they had media like it was no tomorrow. They made a big splash. Thank God they did. It worked out very well. But that particular day in the morning, I did not wake up with a very happy feeling. And as it went closer, noon was going to be the cutoff and the flipping, the switch over to the new. Yeah, it was quite something. It was a major success. And I knew performance. You know, if you had the performance, you can keep tweaking design. Things had to work and render decently well. However, everything worked as designed, but not necessarily as needed. We had to redesign the homepage. We got lots of feedback on some nifty things that were introduced where it was more confusing. The niftiness created confusion. We took it out. This beautiful thing that it was going to be our hallmark, AUpedia, it was fully redesigned in 120 days. It just was complicated for users to give feedback. Analytics had issues. We were not getting good data. At the time we rolled this out, we had web trends, and we use Google Analytics right now. And we had analytics on some custom elements was not happening well, and then we had to do a upgrade of web trends. So there were a lot of follow-up projects that happened after that. Performance did degrade in the first 4 or 5 months, and then we had to upgrade all the 3 servers. So, you know, a project and many other projects. Where are we now? These 2 pages, and then I think that's pretty much our case study journey. So we do have a web policy, and we worked very hard. We put it, the web policy was signed off last November. And you can, you know, I'm going to try to put some resource links when I publish this. And the web policy, there is a steering committee. We do have web governance. Now, it's no governance out there is perfect. So again, it works. Some elements of it work. Not everything does work. The web steering committee meets every 2 weeks diligently. And it's a very invested community. It's chaired by the vice president of communications marketing, and every unit has to have an individual assigned to the steering committee that is one level below the vice president. You can delegate specific sessions to others if you're not going to be there, but you can't delegate the whole role over to somebody in your unit. So it tries to create the strategic view. There is a content publishing leads committee. So these are the individuals in the schools. You know, we could not change job descriptions necessarily, but we have a role, content publishing lead, and then a content publisher across campus. These roles are defined. So a content publishing lead, they used to meet every 2 weeks, now they're meeting every month. And half of their session covers more analytics and web writing oriented topics, and the other half is technical topics. There's regular training. There is three levels of just the technical training in the tool. Starts out with beginner, intermediate, advanced, and they're all offered online, but there's some classroom sessions too. Performance continues to be a major focus. Again, we have learned that it's not something you do and forget all about it. If you have distributed publishing, it's very easy to break things. We have templates out there, but still, it's easy to do a query that brings so much. We found out that the news element on a particular school page was rendering so much data that it broke performance. It broke the website. So it's definitely an ongoing challenge, ongoing metrics. We do annual planning, one day outside, and a half day every 6 months with the steering committee to show them what other universities are doing and what's going on. Where we are, not unlike, again, what other universities were taking, the mobile journey, better social media integration. We did move to Google Analytics. We have more work there to figure out how to get our VPs to tune in to the metrics. That's not the challenge. The challenge is, so what? What do you do with them? Are you really making any decisions based off of that? We've gotten people to tune into the metrics now, but we haven't got them making decisions off of it necessarily. So that's definitely a focus. American Wonks is the new branding for American University. So we're making sure the website reflects the new brand. So it's you know, the biggest fear that I have is that it's gonna go back to the same elements. Remember that little Wordle thing that had outdated content and redundant content. So with all kinds of governance and everything, how do you make sure that someone is not duplicating content out there? I mean, you can't be a cop. And that's a massive awareness to raise over time. Things degrade. It's still new for us right now. So that's pretty much, you know, the new stuff. These don't worry me. These are going to happen. It's doable. It's keeping the basic things in place that do continue worrying me. I might be at time, huh?
We have a couple minutes that we want to
Okay. Questions. What questions? Go ahead.
In your slide, you said your homepage was redesigned within 90 days. Does that mean you did another design or another redesign on that within 90 days?
Yes. We did. We brought together about three different focus groups very quickly, and the feedback that we got was, we had a drawer up top which you could open and you could look at things, and everybody said that was very, very confusing and wasn't good at all. So we flipped that around. Remember all the vice presidents in the cabinet used to say, where is my button? And I want that piece of real estate. So we had to give giving and development a really nice section, and our students hated that. That was not why they wanted to come to the homepage. So.
It was really great for like our prospective students, our current students, and our younger faculty. But to see some of our older faculty and alumni navigate that website, I mean, it looks terrible. You know, I mean, they're confused and where to click. You know, so that's one thing we're trying to address, is how do we appeal to both the younger members and the older members who are going to be accessing our site. I was wondering if you
did a lot of usability testing, but if feedback conflicts, you know, sometimes you just can't put all the feedback to get one massive design. Because so we reverted back, and this is interesting because, again, you know, if we're here next year, it could be different. But at least right now, there is a whole concept of primary audience versus all audience, and we're still trying to keep to that. So a website does have a primary audience, and it's a tricky concept. Go ahead. Yes, minus some of the research institutes and the specialized, a few units like that. The only main site that we didn't launch with the big launch was library, because we just needed more time to think through. It's kind of an institution by itself, so the design needed more time. Yes. Right, the top down.
And then you said, though, that you would recommend that you do it a little differently.
I would spend a lot of time. See, I wish that right going in, we had planned for Agile, because then I would have had more time with the campus to explain that they're not necessarily losing anything, how this all comes together. I had no time. It was very reactionary. So to explain to them, just focus on your news elements. Your goal by next week is to have 100 news stories written up. Don't worry about how it's all going to be dynamically linked and tied. It'll all come together. That's a big leap of faith for them to take. So it made them very uncomfortable. Now the very vocal ones would come and sit down and we would talk about how it would come together. But so I would have planned for it and I would have explained to them, had more time to bring them along. It was a tough thing, and but you know, worked.
But you took the bottom-up approach.
It works.
Much
more. Because for us, from an IT standpoint, to roll out everything would have taken a whole 8 months. Instead, we started having the first piece in their hands in 6 weeks, and they started building content with it. So, okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all for attending.